Welcome to our final episode of Season 9, Transforming Professional Learning. Today, we're going to summarize, synthesize, and reflect on what our guests have shared and what we have learned this year about designing professional learning that has transformed our thinking. I'm Laura, and I'm joined by my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
And like our first episode, it's just the two of us today.
Well, I'm really sad that we're ending this season. It has been so much fun. But since it is this culminating episode of our series, we're going to start with a summary instead of a story. So let's think back over the conversations we've had over the past several weeks to recap and find common threads. So thinking back, we reflected on our pandemic learning experiences and talked with our various guests about planning through a variety of lenses, SEL, differentiation, online design and accessibility, transferring learning, and equity and belonging.
When you list them out, we have had so many great conversations, and I know I have so many great takeaways. I am also sad that it's our final episode, but I am excited to take a moment to think back about all of these great conversations that we've had. And so, Catherine, I know you have had streamlining and good curation at the forefront of your mind lately. So let's think through those curation practices. How can we best sift through all of this great content to have some shareable takeaways?
Okay, Laura, we've had a lot to think about. And one thing that Juliana said that I loved is she said, design with empathy in mind. And when I think about that, that reminded me of our SEL conversation with Chris, talking about, of course, accessibility with Juliana, also thinking about Veronica's conversation with diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And so when we think about our user and we think about the struggles that they may have, are there differences or any of those pieces that make up our identities, I think it's so important to put that at the forefront of our minds. Mm-hmm. So the other thing, the big idea was, and this is really connected, is this idea of personalization. And a lot of our conversations actually use that word differentiation. And we also have heard choice. I think in every single episode, that might have been one of your favorite words.
I do love choice.
Yes. And in some of our last recent episodes, or when we're talking about online design, we talked a lot about self-paced learning. Mm-hmm. So thinking about others, so the empathy and the personalization. So those are my big ideas that I am thinking about from all of our guests.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree. And I think you've done a really good job kind of giving this summary and synthesis, shifting through all of our thinking here. You know, I had a realization, I think when we were talking with Veronica about this idea of inclusion and that equity lens, and she said something to the effect of, you know, it isn't one more thing, it is the thing. And we're just kind of shifting our thinking to be inclusive. And it really made me think that maybe this is the big shift or transformative thinking kind of summarized all together here, that when we list each of these pieces, if we list them out or make a checklist, it feels like a lot. And so if I'm already designing for content and then I'm thinking like, okay, do I have SEL? Do I have accessibility? Do I have DEIB? Do I have a good transfer of learning? It feels like a lot, but really kind of taking a breath and finding that common thread to think it's not really one more thing or one more lens, but it is the lens. I had a similar takeaway with one of our professional development experiences that we got to have with Catrice Cate. Shout out Catrice, who said something like, our prescriptions have changed. So we aren't putting on multiple pairs of glasses. We've gone to the eye doctor. They've done that weird thing where they layer all those lenses on top to say number one, number two, and we've come out with this new prescription with everything working together to be updated to see more clearly and cohesively. And that is an analogy that I want to run with. I love this because I will get overwhelmed if I think about 8 different pairs of glasses that I need to put on before I give a PD session or run a meeting, because it doesn't really seem doable or long lasting. But I think this idea of shifting my prescription entirely to think this is the lens, I love that. And the more I thought about our various episodes and various conversations, I really do think everything can fit together nicely to be a new lens instead of several different lenses that we're trying to balance here.
Laura, that is the perfect analogy. I think that is something that we all need to keep in mind as professional learning designers, meeting planners. It's just, this is the lens that we need to see.
Yeah.
And that also reminds me of Juliana's idea where she talked about just designing with inclusivity in mind. Mm-hmm. And she said by the time she would get to her checklist, then she would have already met all of her requirements because she just had that lens of inclusivity thinking about everything that she did. So I think that's the way we need to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think this all kind of comes down to having this people focused or user experience mm-hmm. in mind that really culminates in this just intentional design. And so when we set our intentions, I love that the design will follow.
Yes, I completely agree. And so what this is now making me think of is my first love is New Pillars of Modern Teaching.
Of course.
And then my second one is The Art of Gathering.
Yes.
And I know we talked a little bit about it in episode 1. I think I probably mentioned it in season 8. But this book by Priya Parker is really one of my favorites. And even though we are gathering as professional learning communities, these principles still apply. And there's a quote in the book that Priya attributes to another colleague, and she says that 90% of what makes a gathering successful is put in place beforehand. Mm. So I think that goes back to that intentionality that you mentioned, Laura.
Oh, yeah.
And just thinking about that design. So we have to really plan ahead and think about everything before we actually start our gathering. So thinking about the art of gathering now for this episode.
I love it. I am so excited. Tell us a little bit more about The Art of Gathering, how you stumbled upon it, maybe how you're using it, and let's go from there.
Okay. So shout out to Gail, number 2 here.
It always comes back to Gail Allen.
It does. It does. So I think the episode of Curious Minds, which is Gail Allen's podcast, was an interview with Priya Parker in 2018. So her book had just been released. I caught that episode. And in a 45-minute episode, I was convinced I needed to run and change my professional development slides probably Whoa. That day. I was probably listening to the podcast on the way to a session and then went in and changed. So there were some things that I could immediately implement. Mm-hmm. Very simple changes, but I think very profound changes. So Priya defines a gathering as a group where 3 or more people meet with a particular purpose. And she talks a lot about the purpose. And a gathering has a very specific beginning, middle, and end. So that mm-hmm. describes all of our professional learning experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. And talk about transformative podcasting. I love the idea that you heard one podcast and then totally redesigned maybe your life. So that's quite a promise. So by proxy, I have also grown to love Priya Parker. Even before the pandemic, I think this is when you listened to that episode, grabbed her book and really took some of these ideas into the meetings and at that time conferences that you and I worked together to plan with. And hearing you mention it enough sparked my interest. And so I listened to that same episode, which made me buy the book. I was really excited. And so weirdly, I actually started reading the book, The Art of Gathering, in March of 2020. It was my spring break read. I started reading it. I was excited. And then, you know, that is exactly when the pandemic hit. So it started feeling like cruelly ironic that we were suddenly in lockdown and quarantine. And so I put that book away because I was like, this is not the time for me to be reading about how to gather well. But I will say I did pick it back up last July as things started to sort of reopen. We were thinking about back to school in August, thinking about the possibility of gathering with people maybe one day soon and kind of putting those ideas into practice. And so I am so excited to talk about this book and some of the ideas and how they've transformed a gathering in real life, but really specifically in our professional development and meeting gatherings.
Well, I've just been waiting for 2 years now to talk about this book with someone. So
sorry to be slow, but hello.
I'm so excited to dig in. So one of the, well, I guess the very first chapter, Priya talks about the difference between a purpose and a category. And she says things like a book club or a birthday party or a monthly staff meeting, that is a category. It is not a purpose. Mm-hmm. So one of the big changes I started making is really honing into the purpose of my professional learning session. And I used verbs or gerunds, ings of the words, the things that I wanted my participants to do in our sessions. So we would think we want people collaborating or exploring tools or applying. And it worked so beautifully face to face, and it works remotely as well. So coming up with that very specific purpose and those learning outcomes as well, that has been transformative over the last 2 years, but very much so now and moving forward.
Yeah, I completely agree and want to say that first, it is a shift in my thinking to think through, whoa, there is a difference between category and purpose. I am having this meeting or hosting this conference, that's just a category. And going deeper to think, okay, but why? What is the purpose? That really has forced me to slow down and think about that intentional design and purpose for why we're gathering. And then like you, I think it has been so helpful when we shifted to a virtual and remote world, because what is the purpose of us having yet another Zoom meeting? You know, really honing in on that and also shifting that professional learning lens from maybe having the luxury of a 6 hour day together to one quick 1 hour webinar. Those ing guiding verbs has really helped my thinking in streamlining and making sure every element of my meeting, my professional learning, whatever this gathering is, relates directly back to those ings. And I know you and I have planned several things together this past year, and it's been a helpful way to trim things. If we only have a quick hour, man, I like this activity and this activity, going back to those purposeful ings that we have set really has helped us think through, okay, well, does this actually relate to the purpose? I guess it doesn't. Let's lose this one and go with one that fits more carefully. So completely agree that that's a small shift, but one that has been really helpful.
Well, and I loved, Laura, when we were planning for a session last month, we created the INGs first, then we worked on the agenda for a while, and then you specifically went back, okay, let's make sure every single item in this agenda meets one of our INGs. And mm-hmm. So that's an easy transformation. If you plan those ahead of time, it does not take long to go through and spot check in your agenda.
Absolutely. And we used that process as we were planning and designing and brainstorming many, many iterations and many, many brainstorm swirling ideas for what this season of our podcast could look like. And so we really honed that thinking down to have the INGs of reflecting, documenting, connecting, and transforming. And so we've really tried to keep this season focus back on those initial purposeful INGs to give us and our guests the opportunity to reflect on our experiences, use this podcast medium to document those, have that connection with others, and then hopefully that transforming thinking in ourselves as well as our listeners. So that's been a helpful practice to apply really across the board.
Oh, yes. And I love that we had those INGs at the beginning, and we really have met those throughout the season.
Woohoo.
All right. So another chapter, and this is the one that I actually heard on the podcast episode that made me run and change my slides, was Priya says, never start a funeral with logistics. And she had a terrific story on the episode. We'll link it in the show notes so you can hear the whole story. But the idea is thinking about what is the first thing your participants hear in your session. And I have made the mistake so many times, like, we're going to have lunch at 12. The bathrooms are down the hall. That's how I start my meeting.
And yeah, yes.
That is not the way to start a meeting. That is not a way to gather well.
For sure. I also often start with the bathroom. And once I learned that, that's such, again, a quick fix, but one that is really impactful. And so just leaning into this idea that we really want to begin and end our sessions and meetings well. And if we think about, okay, is doing that logistic piece the best way to kick off the whole tone and vibe? I'm always about a good vibe. Thinking about a conference or a meeting or a session or anything, we really want to start well. And so shifting those logistics to later in the day or in a place that makes more sense is, again, an easy shift, but one that I think has a lot of bang for the buck, if you will.
Well, Laura, even designing our podcast, we had our guests start with a story, and then we gave the opportunity for them to share the logistics of, well, I'm a third grade teacher, or I'm a consultant, or whatever. And then our end, we never said sign up and subscribe, but we end with a quote, and then we end with our statement. So that's how we modeled that even in our gathering of our podcast.
True, true. Something sort of related, but also that comes from Art of Gathering, is thinking about this idea that the session, the experience, the conference starts with the invitation or that pre-email, or it doesn't really start when you walk in the door or into the Zoom room. It's that first encounter with the topic. And so that's been another shift, again, thinking through this just intentional design, that is a small shift that I think can go a long way, being really intentional with the way that we describe or set up what this session will be or look like. Catherine, I've learned a lot from you about what can go into that pre-email. Maybe that's where some of the logistics are shared, and really just setting the tone and saying more than, here is what time the meeting is, here is where the bathroom is, but really kind of starting that experience in a way that is more thoughtful than maybe I did in the past is something else that I've gotten both from Art of Gathering and from you.
Oh, well, thank you. And yes to that idea. And then the last one that I will share is her idea of excluding well. And this is, I think, something that I am really focusing on this summer, about who are my audience members and making certain that we talk about, if I'm doing a digital session, this is for beginners, this is for advanced users, this is, Laura and I are doing a session, this is for secondary teachers only, this is for administrators. So having that boundary is important in your gatherings. Not just everyone can come in, but making those very careful decisions Priya talks in the book a lot about sometimes you think, oh, I have to be a part of that meeting. And I now have the mindset, no, I really don't need to invite. I don't need to be part of that meeting. So that's another transformative idea from Art of Gathering that I am embracing.
Yeah, I love that. Again, different thinking, shift in thinking, but one that I think will have great results. So I'm curious to see how our exclusive summer goes as we strive to build sessions really, really particularly for the audience as intended. So as we think about moving from Art of Gathering and thinking about our world reopening, maybe having more opportunities to gather in real life with friends, and then really specifically thinking about how we'll gather this summer for professional learning this school year and the kickoff in August, I am thinking about, as always, this transformative thinking and also Adam Grant's book, Think Again. I know a lot of people are currently reading this. This is a great time to think about thinking. And he says, thinking again can help you generate new solutions to old problems and revisit old solutions to new problems. And this is something that I'm really thinking about a lot. I realize I'm saying thinking like 500 times here, but this is something that I'm thinking about for the future and beyond. How do we take all of this transformative learning and thinking and really apply it to now, apply it to summer professional learning, apply it to our classrooms and our PD sessions in August?
Well, in our last episode with Roxanne, the classroom teacher, we asked her to reimagine what August PD could look like. And that is an old problem, I guess. Yeah. So how can we really come up with some new solutions using the things that we've learned this year, the things that teachers have practiced to generate some new thinking about that August professional development?
And I'll go back to, I get easily overwhelmed by all of the things that I want to transform. And I think my wheels spin out sometimes because like, I'm ready to redo all of education and redo everything. And I've been cooped up in my house. And so like, let's do everything differently. And that's not really sustainable or really doable. And so I really love this phrasing of generating new solutions to old problems or revisiting those old solutions to new problems. And really kind of going back to our summary at the beginning of our conversation today about, it's not necessarily about putting on 8 different pairs of glasses, but really adjusting that lens. And as we take these small shifts and making these just small incremental changes to help that overall transformation happen without redoing everything from the ground up, because I'm really excited and ready to do that. But the logistics of that are huge and again, overwhelming. And so I think really thinking about, okay, what are these shifts that we can make and can keep up and have that longevity of practice is really where that transformation is going to come from.
Well, shout out to Catrice again and her idea of the 1 degree shift where we can have just minor changes with huge impact and results. And That's where we want to go. So yeah, you're right. It doesn't take changing, rebuilding everything from the ground up, but we can do these minor things from the Art of Gathering, taking our guest ideas and making those changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's think about it then. Let's really think about narrowing it down and committing to one transformational practice or process that we will bring to designing professional learning this summer and beyond. So, Catherine, do you have one transformational practice?
So I am going to commit to the moment of discovery. This is what you mentioned earlier with the pre-email or the invitation. And Priya calls it the moment of discovery. When you learn about that gathering or the professional learning session, that's when the gathering starts. So the changes that I've started making are in my Region 10 calendar invite and the session description And the confirmation emails that I'm sending, I'm providing a lot more details. I maybe am including those logistics, including the INGs, and really making sure that the educators can get a sense of the vibe or the tone mm-hmm. of the session as soon as they open the page or see the tweet or look at our calendars. So moment of discovery is really where I'm committing to making that transformative change.
I love that.
What about you, Laura?
Okay, so for me, I think I'm really going to focus on avoiding beginning a funeral with logistics and really mm-hmm. take that to heart and think about beginning and ending well. Sometimes I hear myself and have a flashback to when I was a classroom teacher and the bell is ringing and third period is over and I'm shouting final things at my students, which is not helpful at all, but I'm like, wait, here are five more things as they're going out the door. You know, sometimes I hear myself do that, particularly on a quick 1 hour webinar or at the end of a face-to-face session. And so I have really committed to adding this to my planning agenda and really thinking about how am I beginning, not with logistics, and then really how am I ending well? How am I really planning out the time so that I'm not shouting things on the way out, but really ending in a meaningful and non-logistics type of way?
Well, I need that reminder as well, because I was also that classroom teacher who in my whatever teacher evaluation system, closure was always not my strongest area. And I think at least we have the luxury in our sessions to design things so we can cut out one activity in the agenda so we can have extra time at the beginning for SEL check-ins or some other pieces where we get to know the participants, and then we can mm-hmm. end with a quote, a reflection, a recap, and end it beautifully. So love it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Each episode of our podcast, we've wrapped up our conversation with us sharing a reflection using our sentence stem. I used to think blank, but now I think blank about professional learning. So let's do this one last time. So Laura, a final reflection.
Sure. Final reflection from me. I used to think about professional learning through the lens of categories of content. Now I think about professional learning as a gathering with an intentional and well-designed purpose.
Oh, that's so well said. Love it.
What about you?
So I used to think I knew a lot about designing professional learning, but now I know I still have a long way to grow and to go. So always learning, hashtag always learning for me.
Absolutely. Aren't we all? And yes. What a year of learning it has been.
For certain, for sure. So as our conversation draws to a close, let's look one more time to the words of the amazing Gail Allen. This is the closing line of Pillars and a nice close to our season as well. By embracing the uncertainty that comes with failing fast, we're opening ourselves to the innovation that's taking place in so many fields. It's how we'll have a voice in all the ways education is changing, and it's how we'll play a role in leading that change. As we think about leading that change in education and all that we've learned, iterated, and innovated this past year, I think we have the opportunity to continue the conversation and the transformation next school year and beyond.
Yes, absolutely. And I look forward to continuing the conversation for next school year and beyond, but also want to thank you for a series of great conversations here. Thanks for this season and for so many thought-provoking and transformational series of conversations and episodes. It's been fun, Catherine.
Oh my goodness, Laura. I always love collaborating with you, and what amazing guests we've had. What wonderful conversations and discussions and ideas shared. So I can't wait for educators to be in our professional learning sessions this summer to see what we've learned.
Absolutely. So let's close today by revisiting the quote we ended the first episode of this season with. It's a quote from Dr. Jenna Mancini-Rufo and Dr. Julie Kaustin, who say this in their book, The Reimagined School. We have a unique opportunity to press pause and reimagine school, to take the lessons of 2020 and turn them into action by closely examining the old ways, letting go of practices that don't serve students, and creating new routines and environments that meet the needs of every learner.
Let's strive to let go, create new, and reimagine. Let's transform.